It is now 6:22 PM and the Intergovernmental Committee is now in session. The first order of business is the acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on November 6th, 2024. Do I hear a motion?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
The first item on the calendar is PCR-119-24, resolution to adopt updates to City of Warwick local multi-hazard mitigation plan. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is on behalf of the administration. This is a requirement from FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. This has already come before the council previously after public hearings and then the council voted on this. We sent it to FEMA for approval. They have sent it back. They have approved of this plan, but they do require another vote of the city council on this. We want to make sure that we are in compliance with FEMA. So that's why we're doing this at this time. This is not a perfect document. It can be added to in the future as well. But I do think that we need to make sure that we have this framework in place in case there is some type of an emergency. And we do require assistance from FEMA that we don't get dinged on not having a properly filed plan with them. So this is, like I said, the council has already voted to approve this plan, this draft, if you will. It was sent to FEMA. FEMA has approved it as well, has sent it back to us. But it can be like a living, breathing document. So what I'm asking my colleagues to consider at this time is that we approve this plan because we know that FEMA has checked off on it. And then I'm asking that the administration continues to work with all interested parties to continue to improve it as we move forward. But I do think it's important that we get this framework in place, get everything checked, make sure we're staying in compliance with FEMA requirements. So I ask for favorable action. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Do I have someone from the city to present the plan?
Good evening, Council Members. Sean Henry from the Planning Department. Sean Henry from the Planning Department. I don't have much to add to the Council President's initial comments. This is a very important plan to have approved for certain types of non-emergency funding from FEMA. And FEMA has returned a status of, it's called approved pending adoption, meaning that it is approved as soon as the City Council adopts this plan. So we're hoping for that this evening. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Anthony?
Just one. When it comes to Scribner's errors, is that something we can handle? Is that something we leave to the administration? Or is that something we have to actually do formally because FEMA's involved?
I've spoken with the consultant VHB this afternoon. We received an email yesterday evening, and it did include a few items of, you know, the date of August 20th instead of August 19th. Those are okay to, that we can correct those. The administration, the consultant will work on a final version of the plan. However, she did caution me that any substantive modifications to the plan do require us to resubmit for FEMA. And unfortunately, we get put at the back of the line. So we can approve those, you know, spelling mistakes, things like that.
All right, perfect. I'll forward this email from Ms. Walsh then, because she points out a few.
I have those four, I believe.
Even better.
That's the one you had.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee? Questions or comments from the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to reserve any comments or questions that I may have until we hear from the public. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the council? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I'd just like to affirm what the council president stated earlier.
It's my understanding that it is time sensitive for us to approve this at this particular meeting as opposed to putting it off until January, correct?
Correct.
And similarly, as to anything that's beyond effectively a Scrivener's error, which you would also characterize the four items that were raised in the constituents' email as Scrivener's errors, correct?
Correct. I can list those four if you like.
That would be helpful. And then I suppose before you do that, the last question that I had is, as the council president referred to it, this is a living, breathing document that approval of this item this evening is not going to prevent us from revisiting and making additional substantive changes subject to FEMA approval and additional action, correct?
That's correct. And in fact, the state emergency management agency now requires that the hazard mitigation committee, which formed this document, meet on an annual basis to address items. So it will be modified in the coming 5 years.
Well, that's very good to hear. And pardon that interruption. I'll allow you to get to those four Scrivener's errors.
Of course. There was a date correction from August. In the plan, it says August 20th. The city council meeting was on August 19th. Correction of the resolution number that's before you this evening. On page 13 in the plan, Veterans Middle School is referred to as a Veterans High School, which it used to be. We're going to correct that. And lastly, there's a question on whether the civil preparedness ordinance needs to be mentioned. It does not. That's more of an administrative fact than something that needs to be put in this plan.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just for the record, I wanted to at least make one correction there on the comments that were received. The item cited about the resolution needing an amendment because it was citing the wrong date, that the wrong resolution number is not necessary. There was some confusion about when our PCRs or proposed council resolutions are numbered one way, and then when they're enacted, they become a council resolution with a different number. And so that discrepancy can be confusing at times, but just for the council and the public's knowledge, the resolution before you is accurate. So no changes needed to the resolution itself. So that item number two of the four items that Sean has listed is not necessary to take action on.
So do you need something changed? Or you? Okay. Any other questions from the council? Questions or comments from the public?
Hi, folks. Before I comment on this, I'm sorry, Barbara Walsh. Before I comment specifically, I just want to say thank you to those council members who are leaving. It's been a pleasure getting to meet with you and talking with you. I hope your successors will be as amiable as you all have been to hearing feedback and discussing issues. Not that I always get what I'd like to see happen, but that's not the point. The point is to be able to talk with you folks, and you've always been gracious about that. So I want to thank you for that and say goodbye. On this particular resolution, I want to apologize, first of all, for my confusion about the resolution number. I had no idea you reversed the numbers at different points in time. So I apologize for raising that. That is now a red herring and shouldn't be raised again. I do understand that the deadlines are really important for documents like this in terms of the FEMA requirements. I have no objection to making certain documents like this fast track in order to take care of the needs of the city as you all see fit. However, these issues that I've raised could have been addressed in August. I do object to the process. When I raised them in August, I was told there couldn't be a two-week extension to deal with them because there were deadlines at that time. Well, after that, I was very pleased to get a response from Mr. Henry about some of my concerns. And he was very good about one of my issues in particular, the notification issue. But about a month ago, I left a voice message and I wanted to know what was happening with the rest of these changes and if we could talk about some of the issues that I raised. And I've not heard back. So I do object to the process by which not everybody responds to citizens, and I think that's important. I understand Mr. Kravitz and Mr. Henry are here tonight, so I'm just going to ask again on the record that I get a call back because I have additional information to discuss with Mr. Henry about notification of these types of documents and some agencies that can help him with more resources. In terms of this particular issue relating to the plan and my concerns about animals, I do ask now that sort of an offering has been suggested that this is a fluid document and policies perhaps engaged in with the city could provide an addendum or an addition to the framework of this to specify the issues that I have been raising since August. The specifics of how do you move 40 animals from this location to that location as a single individual entity, e.g. the Warwick Animal Shelter. They are incapable of doing that with two or three staff and personal cars, no vehicles by the city, in which you could put crates, carriers, or cages for up to perhaps 30, 40 animals. I am absolutely rabid about this, no pun intended, because I was involved in the flood that happened 12-ish years ago when the shelter flooded up to the ceiling tiles. Those folks had 2 hours to get out about 40 animals, and if they hadn't done it, they all would have drowned sitting in their cages and carriers or crates or kennels, and that would have been on the city. The reason they got them all out of there was because other agencies with vehicles rushed to that site and moved those dogs out to the Thayer Arena. You cannot put that on the shelter to say, oh, just come up with a plan and it's your responsibility and good luck with it. It can't work that way in an emergency. I saw how that happened. My husband and I personally took 5 cats because of that 2-hour window to move every animal in there. And it was volunteers who took out every cat, about 20 cats. It was volunteers. It wasn't city officials or employees. So it can't be on the staff. The executive director that is there right now has contacts, but she's not going to be there more than a couple years longer. She's looking at retirement. And when you get new people in there, they're not going to have the networks. This has to be specified in writing. Who do they call and who will respond when the call comes in? In a chaotic situation, in an emergency, that's not the time to figure out what your network is. The plan, an emergency plan, should be specific. And that can be done by policy. Since it's not specified in the plan, I'm now asking that you facilitate, that you present, that you support, that you ask, encourage, whatever, that city officials specify in writing so that when that call goes out, if such an emergency occurs again, the receiving person on the other end of the call will respond. Otherwise, you could make a phone call and that person could say, we have no vehicles to help you, we have no staff to help you, you just have to deal with it because we're dealing with other issues. In an emergency, of course, everybody's going to be dealing with a myriad assortment of issues, and they're not going to have staff standing by to see if somebody calls them, that they then will decide whether they will respond to that call or not. It can't work that way. These things have to be set up in advance with agreements from administration that when you get this call from that place, you will respond. So if it's the police department, if it's public works, if it's animal control, if it's all three, there need to be very clear lines of communication that the call is made, the call is received, and somebody says, we'll be right out there. We know you've got to move those animals. If you had 40 animals drowning in cages, I think you can imagine what the public outcry would be, what the press would be, and I can assure you this is now all on record, and it will come back to city officials to explain why they didn't deal with it when it wasn't an emergency. I kind of thought that was the point of a plan. So I'm going to ask that you still address this or support it or facilitate it so the specifics can happen. The second part of what I raised is, to me, you know, make a decision one way or the other. Yes, people are responsible for their own owned pets, but it is up to the city to say that city-run municipal shelters for people accept pets or they do not. I do want to just reiterate that it is very clear in research that people in emergency situations like flooding and hurricanes, that people in domestic violence or elder abuse situations often don't leave dangerous situations because they won't leave their pets. We know this. We know pets have to be accommodated. The city simply, in this case, needs to say, we'll do it or we won't do it, so that when people start making phone calls in an emergency, there's an answer. This shelter for people will accept pets, none of the others will. Or, no, none of our shelters accept pets. You now have to try to find a place to put your pet while you evacuate yourself as well. That's all. That's all I want for owned animals. Just decide on a policy and specify it so that the information can be shared immediately when a crisis occurs. For the animal shelter, that's a little different, and I think that has to be much more clearly delineated. So thank you for accepting the feedback. And I appreciate being able to provide the input. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good evening again, Michelle Comar. I had emailed 6 comments to the planning department and to Superintendent Bill McCaffrey back in August when we last were here before the council. And I have not received an email response since August. And I, like Barbara Walsh, were kind of told, what you see is what you get tonight. That's it. That was back in August. Now, FEMA's reviewed it. They haven't addressed public comments that were before the council and emailed to the planning department. I'd just like to home in on one of my comments, because this one's really important to me, and I have not got the answer from anyone yet. One of my last comments, and it dealt with the new high schools. And my question was, does VETS, which is the middle school, as we know, and will the two new high schools have supplemental power generators, and will all three schools be planned emergency shelters? And I opened my statements to the council that night in August by saying, people open up this document. They want to know two things. Emergency routes, how do I get to a safe spot, high ground? And how do I get to shelters? Where are the shelters? What do they provide? So right now, the report says, and it hasn't been changed since I read it back in August, that VETS High School, we know is middle school, is a Red Cross designated shelter. But we're spending probably $400 million on two new high schools. It seems that it is practical, if not necessary, that those high schools qualify whatever approval process there is, as designated shelters, whether that be floods, storms, power outages, cold, heat waves, whatever it is, they're shelters. And I cannot get the answer from the school department. Superintendent has not responded to my emails. I'm just at loss for why we're not planning ahead to have schools built adequately to standards to be public shelters. So of my six questions that I emailed, plus a couple more that I went before the council and mentioned, this one stands out before me, and I'd like to have that answered tonight. This is a five-year plan, and we probably should look and see if we can get this addressed, because the schools might be built in 5 years. At least they're in the works being designed. So I think it's a relevant question to have answered. Somebody from the planning department?
Sean Henry, planning department. I couldn't speculate as to whether future buildings will or will not be designated as shelters. Pilgrim High School is today designated as a shelter. Like you, I assume it would make sense for it to also be a shelter, but that, I don't think that decision has been made yet. I don't know if that's a work emergency management decision, but I don't think that question is intended to be resolved in this document.
Well, thank you, Mr. Henry, but I do believe it should be. It's a five-year plan. We're designing the school system. You don't just put a sign on a school and say, it's a shelter. It has to be designed structurally to withstand storms. Windows have to be sturdy enough not to be blown out against winds, floods. I think this is something we need to address, and I'm going to be addressing this with FEMA if it doesn't get addressed tonight. My emails, no answers to my emails. I could just pass them along to FEMA with my other comments. The consultant that was here at the council meeting in August thanked me for my comments. She said, thank God somebody read the whole thing. And now I found out nobody cared. Nobody answered them. And I'm very concerned about putting $400 million into two new high schools, and they're not going to be built. And I haven't heard they are. Please verify that they're going to be built to qualify as public shelters. And that has to be incorporated into the design, not a sticker you put on the building afterthought. How can I get this answer?
Thank you. May I?
Yes.
So the designs for the schools aren't final yet. So no one will have an answer for this unless and until those designs are final. Your points are valid as far as, yes, once those are final, we absolutely should know conclusively it either will be a shelter, one or both of them, or they won't be. And as soon as we know if they are, then yes, it should absolutely be reflected in here, especially if they're not Pilgrim included, because then it needs to be amended accordingly. The new Pilgrim will not be one. But until those designs are final, I don't see how they could put it in here one way or another, how the prospective schools will be. It's just not known yet.
I can respect your answer, Councilman, but I tend to disagree, having gone to some of the school committee meetings and knowing a little bit about the design process, being a consultant for years. This has to be incorporated into design, and the school committee has told the public they're short of money, so they know pretty well to the detail of what's going into the school design and what's not. I guess I have to ask for the specs or a 30% design that they have finished and look at it, because the school department is not willing to give that information out. And I think it's going to be disappointing when we all get two new high schools and the public's knocking on the doors to get in as a shelter and it's not available as a shelter. And the windows are blown out, the roof collapsed, or whatever structural design requirements are needed. It needs to be done now in the design phase, and not find out and wait and see after the design is done. What are we going to do? Put another amendment in and redesign the schools again? This answer is being hidden, I may add. I really believe it is. It's not being given out to the public. And I think we need to know with confidence that it's being taken care of. And I was so distraught learning that this plan didn't address this. I called the speaker. He was at the Democratic convention. I said, I can't find the answer to this. He says, it's ridiculous if these schools are not designed to be public shelters. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Chairman McElroy, members of the committee, members of the City Council who were here listening, as well as members of the public who were here, and our contingency from the Planning Department. My name is Michael Zarum, for the record. Tonight, I will be speaking on this issue, both as a resident and as president of the Bucky Brook Coalition, which is specifically mentioned in the Hazard Management Plan. I have not had a chance to review the final draft yet. I tried to call VHB today and was not able to get a hold of them. And before this committee began, I had a brief discussion with Sean Henry, and we agreed that the questions I have, we would address in committee right now. So with that, I would like to thank Sean Henry for all his hard work in putting this together. It's a very, very difficult task. I understand it's time sensitive. And I do want to mention one thing, that prior to this, I was a member of the city's Resiliency Planning Committee. I was appointed to that committee by former Mayor Joe Solomon, and with the recommendation from Dan Geegan in the Planning Department. And the reason they selected me to be a public member on that is being a long-term resident, being very familiar with the geography of the city, having degrees in both civil and environmental engineering and stormwater management, also knowing where a lot of the problems exist in the city and trying to make sure that get into a final draft. So before I make any comments through the chair, if I could just ask a few questions to Mr. Henry. Sean?
Sean Henry, Planning Department.
So first, thank you for your diligent work here. One of the things that I asked was how many public members there were, and I don't believe any of the public members on the committee had a background in environmental, either environmental engineering or environmental planning. I do know that the final draft was done by VHB Consulting Company. It was done by their environmental division. I also know that on the former committee I was on, there were specific things that came up, and I'd like to ask Mr. Henry if those are covered in the current one. One of them was, as we've all noticed, I don't want to call it climate change as much as that the weather has been more intense. We have rainstorms that are longer duration and more intense than before, and that leads to usually more frequent flooding. This is reflected in what's called the State Stormwater Design Manual that has meteorological tables. And they're all based on a 24-hour storm. And now, Mr. McElroy, I'll wait till you finish with Mr. Foley. Thank you. The design for how much water can handle in the stormwater system is based on what's called the Rhode Island Stormwater Design Manual. Those storms are based on what comes down in 24 hours. And we know from the storm that we had last week, it rained pretty intensely for 3 days. One of the things that's changed is that the storms that we have now, the more intense, meaning more inches of rain per hour than usual. And also the storms aren't just a 24 hour, they're much, much longer. But all the drainage inlets that you see out in the street to gather all the rain and put it somewhere else so it doesn't flood is based on a 24-hour storm. So based, when I was on the Resiliency Committee, we had discussions on modifying the State Stormwater Manual and updating the meteorological tables in there. And with that, I'd just like to ask Mr. Henry if that's reflected in this plan anywhere or not at this time.
Were those manuals updated?
Excuse me?
You asked, if the plan represents, I was unclear if the meter, if those manuals were updated or if they were thinking about updating them. I wasn't clear what your question.
Well, I believe referenced. That a lot of the hazard management plan addresses what type of response there would be from the city and FEMA and the state in an emergency. But does it also address stormwater management, stormwater design and things like that with the city? The other thing that's changed the last couple of years, I think everybody knows that we have groundwater. And if you look at where the city of Warwick is with Narragansett Bay to the east and Greenwich Bay to the south, most of the rainwater goes either in the ground or it runs off into Narragansett Bay or Greenwich Bay. All the drops that come down everywhere, either get in the ground or they go in the system and go out that direction. But there's only so much capacity. And I think everybody's seen groundwater. It rains and the ground gets absorbed into the ground. But as it's raining and the groundwater level gradually comes up, eventually it goes above ground and then you get floods. Has that been looked at all in this document at all and management for that too? Or is it just how to treat things during an emergency?
Generally speaking, the plan does address stormwater, resiliency with erosion, sea level rise. However, the plan does not get to the granular level of best stormwater practices. It does provide some priorities where capital improvements are planned, denoting risk, relative prioritization of projects against one another. However, the granular level of how stormwater is managed is left to any engineers that will be designing those projects.
Okay, thank you. And then one of my first comments on the resiliency committee identified potential harm over at the Warwick Sewer Authority. We already know that they have been flooded before. There was also a dike surrounding the holding tanks that was next to the Patuxent River. There was also at one point in time, the Army Corps of Engineers did a mitigation project out there. Personally, I know because I remember when I was in my younger years in school, and the Warwick Sewer Authority plant was designed, they had to make a choice on the height of that dike, whether it would be designed for a 100-year storm or a 200-year storm, which would be more rainfall, higher propensity to flood. Is there anything in here? I noticed there was a member from the Warwick Sewer Authority on the committee to leave the height of that dike the way it is or modify it and increase it. Has anything changed there since they were last flooded?
We did have members of the Warwick Sewer Authority on the Hazard Mitigation Committee. I cannot speak to that particular project where it stands tonight.
Fine. Pardon me, Chair. So the Council President has asked if we could take a recess.
Yes, I'm going to stop. Are you almost done? We're going to be pausing.
I'm almost done. I was just asking one more minute and wrap
okay,
it up.
Okay, one more
best
minute.
Interesting. And then also, I want to thank Barbara Walsh for speaking. I'm not going to repeat her comments, but I do agree with everything she said. And I would ask if you take them one step further, not just to be a plan for the animal shelter, but in the event of an emergency, there's actually a checklist item that lists the Warwick Animal Shelter on a checklist so it doesn't get forgotten. The only other comment I have, I want to be sure, I might defer this to Solicitor Walsh, is that to be certain, given the deadline for FEMA and that they've already pre-approved this, that I would support getting it in for now, but I'd like to make sure there's language in there that states that it can be updated. And with that, I would support it as long as it's clear that it can be updated if we find emotions and things to make it better. That's the end of my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now pause the Intergovernmental Committee to go into the council meeting at 7 o'clock, and then we will return to the Intergovernmental Committee meeting. later on. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the public. We will go back and complete this committee meeting. We just have some business to take care of at 7 o'clock. So we'll see you back here at 7 o'clock. If we could have the family members of the outgoing council people come down and join us, please, for the start of the meeting. For everyone following at home, we're just going to call the meeting to order. We're going to do roll call and general communications. And after general communications, we will go back in and finish the business of the meeting. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I call the December 16th, 2024 City Council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister.
Here.
Mr. Foley.
Here.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Here.
Mr. Howe.
Here.
Mr. Lattiser.
Here.
Mr. McElroy.
Here.
Mr. Ricks.
Here.
Mr. Sinabi.
Here.
Ms. Travis.
Here.
Nine present.
Thank you. Councilman Howe, will you and your family please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Oh, say, can you see? By the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly.
Thank you very much. So if you're following at home, we are now under general communications, which is the announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. I have a couple of congratulations, and they are to some of my colleagues that have served the city of Warwick, and I have invited their families to come here today. So I thank my colleagues on the council for this time, and I thank the public again. We will go back into regular business order after we finish general communications. But at this time, I would like to congratulate and acknowledge Councilwoman and President Pro Tem Donna Travis. Councilwoman Travis has served on the City Council for 30 years, but long before that, she has served our city in so many different ways. Endless committees, endless groups, endless fundraisers, has been a true advocate for the city of Warwick her entire life as a lifelong resident here in Warwick. So, Councilwoman, I can't thank you enough for the guidance that you have shown this council throughout these years, for all the great advocacy, not just for your ward, but for the city as a whole. So I congratulate you. And thank you and your family. I know you can't do this alone, and your family is your rock, and that they support you and all the late nights and all the early mornings for over 30 years. So I ask my colleagues to stand with me and congratulate Councilwoman Donna Travis for her service to the city of Warwick. And Councilwoman, I have a little plaque here that I wanted to get. This is from me to you. Like I said, it's been an honor serving with you on the City Council. My second item under general communications is another congratulations to my good friend, Councilman Jim McElroy. Councilman McElroy has served on the council the last three terms. He has been a true patriot, a true citizen of the city of Warwick for a long, long time. He also has an unbelievable family that is also serving the city of Warwick. His wife, I believe, just retired as a principal, has served the students of the city of Warwick for years. His sons work for the city as teachers as well. Great leaders on their own right. His daughter's teachers. His daughter is a successful lawyer as well and serves the city in a capacity here as well. The McElroy family, led by Jim, have been great stewards of the city of Warwick, and we thank you very much, Councilman, for your service to the city of Warwick. And my next item under general communications is another congratulations to my good friend, the chairman of the Finance Committee, Councilman Tim Howe. Councilman Howe and I came on the council together in 2017. We've been through a lot, and it's been an honor to serve next to you and with you all these years. The councilman is also a teacher. He's also a veteran who served our country. So not only does he serve our city, but he serves our country. Has an amazing family. I'm so glad that they were able to come here this evening. Your wife takes care of all of us. She's a nurse and a true leader in the community. I know your daughter very well and your grandson as well. And great job leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance tonight, Lincoln. Chairman Howe, one of the toughest jobs we have on the city's council is looking after the finances. And it's a lot of time. It's a lot of time away from your family. It's a lot of time chasing down emails and requests and follow-ups. And you took that challenge and you did a great job. So I really appreciate your service to the city of Warwick, your service to our country, and it's been an honor serving with you, Councilman Howe. And last but not least, I just want to give congratulations to my daughter, Grace, and my wife, Vanessa, that they don't have to hear me talking about council meetings any longer going forward. And thank you for all the support. And you're up late tonight, so we're going to get you out of here pretty soon, okay? So I would like to get a picture with my colleagues that are leaving. And if you want to take some pictures with your families, then we will pause the council meeting after general. I'll come back and see if there's anybody else has anything under general communications. But if we could take some pictures at this time, that would be great. We're just going to finish up general communications, take a quick 5-minute recess, and then we'll pull the meeting back to order. So is there any other council members have anything under general communications at this time? Announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events? Councilman Lattiser.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Mr. President. I would also like to extend my congratulations to our four colleagues that have served with us over the years. I know I go back a long ways with particularly Council President and Councilwoman Travis and Chairman Howe. So it's been a pleasure. We haven't always agreed, but that's part of governance. That's part of what we do. That's part of that military thing too. But in all seriousness, I want to wish all four of you the best of luck going forward, the best of health, and God bless you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other council members have anything under general communications? Councilman Howe.
Mr. President, I respectfully refer to Councilwoman Travis.
Councilwoman
30
Travis.
Years she earned that right.
Sorry, I didn't see your hand. Councilwoman
Travis.
Good
thing. Well, first of all, I want to thank everyone. It's been a long journey, 30 years, but I enjoyed it. I love the city of Warwick, and I love representing Ward 6. I want to thank all the directors. I've seen many directors come and go, and mayors and council people, but I met so many good people. And it's been wonderful, and I really enjoyed doing what I did, and I feel like I left my ward a little bit better than when I came in. So that's what I was here for. Now I have a new leaf to turn over, but I will miss all of you. my good friend Joanne. I will miss her and everybody else. I enjoyed working with my colleagues. And on a sadder note, I do have a moment of silence. For Loretta Olivera, Oakland Beach resident, she was born there. She passed away at 92. Her husband and both her sons were Warwick firefighters. She was a wonderful lady and a big pillar in the community. I'd like to have a moment of silence.
Thank you. We'll have a moment of silence at this time. Thank you. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I too would like to say thank you to my colleagues, to the people that I've worked with. I agree, Councilman Lattiser. We've had some contentious discussions, some heated discussions. However, you and I have always found a way to step aside. Sometimes we needed cooling off periods, but you and I have always found a way to step aside. And I think our common bond is our love for our families. Our common bond is the true love of the city. And also, as you said, that understanding of service, that understanding of, you know, we can get disagree. We will not always agree. There are things we absolutely never will agree on, but it's that cooling off period and the reassess. And I look forward to sitting outside on the outside and reconnecting again and staying in touch and discussion. To my colleagues, I can't thank you enough. I already thank the Finance Committee members, but I have to say the last 4 years have been phenomenal. To the Citizens Award 3, I thank you. It was a great honor. To Councilman-elect Brian Napa, thank you for stepping up to serve and being out there. I'd like to thank Council President Steve McAllister, as he mentioned very humbly, that we met on the Finance Committee. And we served 4 years as members of the Finance Committee. And I'm proud to say, before there was even discussion, I went to you, Councilman, or Council President, and I said, I hope you're thinking about running for Council President. There's a reason why I did that. It is your calm leadership, your knowledge, your ability to reach out, your knowledge of understanding the concerns of every ward, as well as serving your own. It's been a great honor to serve with you, and I look forward any time you ask, I will be there and I will work and serve with you at any time. And I can't tell you, I think you did a great job these last 4 years, and we really did a great job as a council and as a community moving this city forward. The infrastructure, wherever the funds came from, we addressed infrastructure. Recreation is up and going, and our fleet of vehicles are serving our citizens. And that's what we thrive to do. That's why we serve. And finally, thank you to the city clerk, Lynn Dabroska. Thank you, city solicitor. Thank you, Joanne. And to all the directors. But finally, I have to say thank you to my family, because as you said, Mr. President, we can go home. There's a lot of hours that go in, especially when there's an international airport and a major development, where that work extends deep into the evening. And if you don't have the support system at home, it adds to the stress. And I never had the stress, because I always had the support system of my wife of 33 years, Anna. And thank you so much. I love you. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Howe. Any other council members have anything under general communications? Okay, at this time, I'm going to ask that we take a 5-minute recess. The families can take some pictures, and then they can stay or move on. And then we will go back into the Intergovernmental Committee. Again, I thank the public for your indulgence on this. We apologize that we're running a little behind, but thank you very much. Five-minute recess. Councilman Howe, do you call for 5-minute recess? Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Thank you. We are in recess.
It is now 7:31, and the Intergovernmental Committee is now back in session. Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine, and you?
Very well, thank you.
I am here to speak about the plan, and
yes.
I feel that we've forgotten about Richard Langseth, Bud Long Farm. We seem to have once again forgotten about the Buttonwoods Fire District, which is in a municipality within the municipality. And being a former resident of the Buttonwoods Fire District, I know that it's really important that they be engaged when it comes to any kind of emergency planning or any kind of FEMA planning with the city of Warwick. And I believe, question, that they were not involved with this plan.
Sean Henry, Planning Department. Now, there was no presence from the Buttonwoods Fire District at our meetings.
I'm not suggesting that everything be pulled apart. That would be ridiculous. However, I really think that the Buttonwoods Fire District should be approached on such intergovernmental entities. It's interesting, intergovernmental. I mean, they're another government right here in Warwick. I mean, why wouldn't they be invited to these kinds of meetings and, you know, and get things straightened out? Because of the next hurricane that we have, they are going to show up, I can assure you. And they're going to ask the city for help, I can assure you. They're going to ask the state for help. They're going to ask FEMA for help. I mean, it's just absolutely ludicrous that they're not involved in this kind of process. So I'd like to remind everybody on the city council coming up that it's really important to reach out to them. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that we've gotten some good comments and some good suggestions and involving this item, and I just want to defer it to the solicitor so that, let's take one in particular, the one from Ms. Comar regarding the schools. And we all know the financial situation that exists surrounding these two schools. We know that there is significant cuts that have been made and continue to be made. So there is concern whether or not these two schools will be a shelter or not. And I just want to hear from you that this city council at some point in the future, whether it be January, February, or whenever, has an opportunity, as was mentioned, to amend whatever we possibly approve this evening.
The details presented in the plan are the administration's best presentation of what they have available for today. We can't necessarily hit moving targets that are outside the scope of this plan today. Items to be paying attention to as, updating the plan in the future as the city transforms would be appropriate. But as Mr. Henry has noted previously, the plan has been approved. This is the last step of this phase, but opportunities to present future substantive changes, as was mentioned, they've reached out that future updates can happen, but that would have to follow the FEMA process. So today we're at what's before you is the opportunity to move forward with a plan, and it's up to the council and the administration, everybody in the public's input to stay on top of this in greater detail moving forward.
And Sean, you agree that this council will have an opportunity to propose amendments in the future?
Yes, Councilman. As I said, the Hazard Mitigation Committee, which was reformed to put this plan together, is now required to meet at least once annually to address issues as they come up. So Pilgrim High School still exists today and is still a shelter today, and that will move forward until we have a new school, and then we'll see at that point where the new shelter will be designated, and then it'll be updated at that time to reflect the current information at that time.
Okay, thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Okay. Do I hear a motion?
Move favorable action. Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It is now 7:37 and the Intergovernmental Committee is adjourned.